please join with me to read from the Bible this morning. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. So Phil's just asked me to start with last week's reading as well. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Now I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 28, 16 to 20. Yep. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." We're now going to pray for Phil. Heavenly Father, thank you for Phil's desire to bring us the wisdom of the scriptures this morning. May he faithfully show your meaning from the Bible. May we be drawn into your presence through this sermon, and we ask that you will help us to live as servants in your harvest. Amen.
Well, do you have a vision or plan for something important, something big? Maybe it's how you see your life playing out. You have an idea of where you are now and where you want to get to. Maybe your plan is about the sort of person that you want to be. Maybe it's about what sort of job you want to do. Maybe it's about the sort of person you see yourself marrying. Maybe it's about how much money you want to make. Maybe it's a short-term plan, say for 2016. Maybe you have a New Year's resolution, or better still, a habit. Maybe you are praying about your vision. Maybe you're not. Well, I want to tell you about a small and imperfect vision that I had way back in 1990. And yes, I acknowledge that some of you may not have been born then yet, so you're just going to have to imagine what it was like then. Myself and a mate had applied to join the Army and to go to the Australian Defence Force Academy. You may be interested to know that I had actually applied for the Air Force and been rejected on academic grounds. So we had the dubious honour in November 1990 of not knowing what we would be doing in the following year. Every few days we would ring the recruiting sergeant and ask if we had gained a spot or not. Information was not forthcoming, and we could sense the growing anger of this sergeant. "Not you blokes again," he would say. "I will let you know if there's an opening for you. In the meantime, lay off, as I may end up being your drill sergeant next year." It was clear that we needed a plan B. So off we drove to the Young District outside of Canberra. Our plan? To make as much money as we could, with minimal effort, harvesting cherries, to get cashed up, in one sense. It was an imperfect vision, and we certainly weren't prayerful. At the time, I wasn't a Christian. You guessed it. It didn't go well. We thought we were hard workers. Farmer Brown told us we weren't. We wished he was a drill sergeant. We thought that a lug worth $5 that we picked cherries into was about this big. In fact, it was about this big. So I can't remember if we left after a mere 3 days in the sun due to lack of perseverance, or whether Farmer Brown kicked us off his property. He was angry, quite frankly, at the lack of persistence we showed to his harvest. It was important to him, and the care we did not show to his crop made him quite angry. We picked way too many cherries without the stalks in them, which causes that particular fruit to rot. So we left with our tails between our legs, sunburnt, irritated, and with only about $80 in our pocket after all of the expenses of fuel, food and a beer on the way back. We failed to plan about our vision. So as we come to the end of the summer series in Matthew and conclude with the important words of Jesus at the end of Matthew chapter 9, these words are also reflected in two of the other Gospels, in John 4 and in Luke 10. I want you to ask two questions. One, what is the harvest that the Bible talks about in Matthew 9? And two, how am I going to be involved in this harvest? Well, what do we know about the harvest from this passage? So if you look at your outlines, or better still, if you've got the Bible in front of you, look to Matthew 9, chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. We are told, firstly, that there is a harvest. It is plentiful, but there's a problem. The workers are few. Jesus tells his disciples to ask, to pray to the Lord of the harvest. So there is a Lord of the harvest. And they're to pray to send out workers into this harvest field. So let's unpack each of them. And if you follow along in your outline, there is a little dot point for each one. First, it's worth reflecting on what we looked at last week when Richard preached. If you look at verse 36, we are told of a sheep-shepherd metaphor. It is Jesus' compassion that drives this. His compassion for the multitude that causes him to describe people as directionless and without a good leader. This metaphor has now changed in this scripture to that of a harvest. It is now even more critical than what it was earlier in that chapter. The harvest is ripe and the workers are few, and Jesus is instilling this important fact in his disciples, which in this context is a group that is larger than the 12 disciples. It is a larger group of disciples. It is an image that holds two things. Firstly, threat, and secondly, hope. So look at verse 37. We are told that there is a harvest on three separate occasions. It might seem obvious that there's a harvest, but it's really important. The harvest is the people that we have read about in verse 36, but there is also a harvest event. Where the harvest is, well, to put it simply, harvested. I spoke to two farmers this week, one in dairy and one in wheat, and you always get a down-to-earth answer from a farmer, so I'm not going to give you their exact responses to me, but just to summarise it. Their observations of the harvest crops were insightful. The first said that there's much preparation before you can harvest, sometimes months of preparation, fertilisation and nurturing. He then said when it's time to harvest, it's a pretty basic thing. So the harvest is either used or it rots and it's discarded. A crop that is harvested is then invested into producing more crops, which in turn is harvested and in due course, again, used. The second farmer said that when it is harvest time, the harvest and the harvest is plentiful, it's all hands on deck. And this particular farmer from Missouri said to me, if you're going to come and visit me at that time and the harvest is on, you are not going to get taken around the city as a tourist. You're going to be working. You're going to have your hands dirty. You're going to get up at 6 a.m. You're going to go to bed when it gets dark. You are going to harvest because that harvest is plentiful and it needs to be harvested. Friends, when the harvest occurs, there are two outcomes. That which is harvested is either used or it's discarded and destroyed. And the Bible tells us there are two outcomes during this harvest event, or what is sometimes referred to as the end of the age, or judgment. And those two outcomes, the first one could be death. The Bible tells us that we are all like sheep. Each one of us has gone astray, and we've seen that analogy used several times in Matthew. We're also told that everyone is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. The wages of sin is death, if sin is not dealt with. So if we don't choose to believe in God and what his son did on the cross, the situation is dire. The other choice, though, is to believe in Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. In this instance, in this scripture, there is a Galilean harvest to a specific people group at a specific time, and it's plentiful. Jesus, fully God and fully man, shows compassion for the people that are to be harvested. There are few workers in this harvest. In contrast to chapter 10, where the disciples are sent out in small groups with a mission and commissioned directly, the disciples are part of a larger group here, and they're told to pray. The harvest is plentiful, but there are pitiful few workers for the harvest. A crop, once ripe, cannot be brought in without workers. It's as simple as that. And a worker or labourer in this context is a person that is committed to getting their hands dirty. We are all disciples in one sense, but these workers are ordinary people like you or I that are especially committed to a cause. Jesus tells the disciples to pray for more of these committed workers. There is a Lord of the harvest. This is a relief in one sense, because the harvest does not depend on the disciples or us for that matter. Now, I want to just unpack that, so don't think that you can do nothing. God is responsible for the growth of his kingdom, but we can't abrogate our responsibilities for the harvest. We have a vital part to play. And we need to be gripped by the vital mission that Jesus has for people. But we are not the lords of this harvest. God is superior to us, and it is his harvest. But he seeks our cooperation in prayer and in going. If we look past this scripture to what's on your outline in Matthew 28, we get a glimpse of this broad vision or plan, which is for the nations. After the crucifixion, we see what God is thinking here. So if you look at Matthew 28:19, Jesus gives the commission to the church to make disciples of all nations, to win others that are like-minded, like themselves, to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, but to do more than that, to make disciples, which in turn will disciple other people. So you see that, you know, the 2 Timothy 2:2 type image of the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be able to train others. It's a reproducing type of situation. The master plan is that God's love is universal. He is the saviour of the world and wants people to be saved locally, in the Asia Pacific, and internationally. And he wants people to come to a knowledge of the truth. This is the vision. Now turn your attention to the first part of verse 38. Because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, it is incumbent on the disciples, therefore, to do something. No matter how much effort they apply, the whole harvest cannot be gathered in. So the action that Jesus singles out here is that of prayer. Not for more vigorous or effective actual action or doing things, although that is really important, it is for prayer. The disciples are to pray to him who can send out more workers. And at this stage, have you ever thought that perhaps Jesus was the only worker? We, like the disciples, are to be people of prayer, praying for workers for the harvest of people. Jesus was prayerful in all that he did. We see that in his life. We see him getting up early in the morning to pray. We see him teaching the disciples how to pray. And we see a whole chapter of John's Gospel, John chapter 17, devoted to prayer, where he prays for himself, the glory of God, the disciples, and for believers given by God the Father. As I've already described in the interview, I'm working still with the in ministry to the Australian Defence Force, and there's vital preparation work that's needed. Next week, on the 27th of January, 280 first-year cadets and midshipmen will arrive at ADFA for their first year. This is a harvest, and it is more than we can accommodate between the mission groups that operate on that campus. Between us, we can't deal with the harvest. There are some cadets who already know God's love demonstrated through his son Jesus, but there are many more that don't yet know God's love. And a small group of us are praying every day for 30 days for this group and for more workers. Between the Christian groups operating, there is a harvest much bigger than we can cope with. We need prayer. So I want to encourage you to be people of prayer. If it's at all helpful to you, and if you can show that prayer slide now, James, that would be great. I want to give you this sheet, which hopefully inspires you to pray. And I would love everyone to take one, to keep it with you, or to put it somewhere obvious in your home. And each day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, is be people of prayer, because you want to be participatory in God's work. Okay, and I've already populated with some of the things that Stromlo Christian Church are involved in or support. Now think big. Think for the nations. Think for Philippines. Pray for your pastors. Pray for the Stromlo area. But gee, wouldn't it be great if we were people of prayer, that you were praying for the harvest and for the needs of this church. So please take one, either at the end from this table here or over there. And I just really encourage you to be people of prayer. So we're moving on to, thanks James, we're moving on to go. As you pray about the harvest, you might find that God is placing on your heart a particular burden for mission, be it local, country, Asia Pacific, or the world. When we pray for workers in the harvest, we must in some sense come before God with a willingness to respond to him and to perhaps be a committed worker. Mission is Jesus-shaped. In this scripture, Jesus saw the crowds and he was filled with compassion. This compassion, Richard talked about last week, it moves the gut. And that's not like a movement where you're hungry or your stomach is upset. It's a yearning or desire for people that are in a desperate situation to know Jesus and to be saved. The church, this church, is to have that stirring. God seeks our cooperation in praying and in going, and we must be willing to answer our own call. Like Isaiah the prophet, who said, "Here I am, send me." This could be something like working in support of a ministry that already exists, as many of you are already doing. It could be moving to a different part of Australia to start a church. Or it could be moving and going to the nations. The disciples may have been surprised in answering their own call in being sent out and commissioned in chapter 10 of Matthew's Gospel. We sometimes need to be prepared to answer our own prayers. It's no accident that we have global partners like Phil and Lil, Klaus and Jude, others that we pray for, and a team that was recently sent to the Philippines. These partners definitely prayed, some for years, about the harvest, and then they responded and they went. So I'd now like to play a short video that talks about this vision that God the Father has and how important it is.
The job is not done. in the world that Christ gave us to do, and the mandate is still binding on us today. That's why we speak of unreached people groups. But the missions is the back-breaking, culture-penetrating, darkness-shattering initial work to penetrate, plant the church, see it flourish, get its own elders, train its own people, evangelize its own networks. That's the task of missions. It's not over. And that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And the alternative is hell. And millions and millions and millions of people are on their way there. And we have the only means of escape in our heads and in our hearts. Jesus Christ.
There are many prodigal sons on our city streets, they run searching for shelter. There are homes broken down, people's hopes have fallen to the ground from failures. This is an emergency.
What is your response to this? Are you moved in the guts by this? Do you see this as an emergency? Do you see it as, I think John Piper said at the start, as just a darkness shattering, culture piercing type of arrangement? God wants you to pray for the harvest, to participate in it. It is a hopeful message that God has for us through Jesus Christ, but it is a matter of life and death. Jesus showed compassion on the multitudes and he showered compassion for you by dying on the cross. So two questions were asked at the start of the sermon today. What is the harvest the Bible talks about? And how am I to be involved in this harvest? The harvest is people, and there will be a harvest event. It is hopeful, but at the same time it's threatening, isn't it? You need to be very sure what is going to happen to you when the Lord of the harvest carries out the harvest. And if you are in any way unsure about this, you need to research it. Feel free to come up and speak to me or some of the pastors here about it, and be sure of where you stand. Be absolutely sure, because it is a matter of life and death. We need to be prayerful about the harvest. It is plentiful, and the workers are few. God wants your participation in it, and he wants your reliance on him in recognizing he is the Lord of the harvest. Workers are needed. Pray. You might be someone who is called by God to be more involved in working in the harvest. There are many opportunities, local opportunities in this area, in the Asia Pacific, national and international. If God is calling you to go, you will want to respond. I or the pastors here at Stromlo am happy to speak to anyone that feels God is calling them now or has called them in the past and you just can't, at that time you couldn't respond. My own testimony for myself and Julianne, it took 10 years for us to respond to that call of God just slowly building away and praying about it. Is this your vision? Or do you want to get rich quick, like I did? The world is desperately seeking to someone, and we will be sure that they will follow someone. Will this be Jesus Christ, the compassionate and hopeful Son of God, or will this be the way of darkness? This is the decisive question for the plan of our lives. The relevance of all we do hangs on this verdict, and indeed for the multitudes. Now let's pray for workers in the harvest right now. Lord, thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, and so we pray for workers into this harvest field. We pray that light would shine in the darkness and help us as a church to be prayerful and to respond to you if you're calling us into this mission. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.